God, I ask for your prayers tonight. The word of the Lord could have free course among us and accomplish what Jesus came to do, is to destroy the works of the enemy. So pray with us and believe the burden of the Lord tonight is to offer, to give an offer to escape. Look at the ministry of Jesus. The desire of a God to reach down and reach a lost and dying world. To be able to extend a hand of salvation to a world that had lost their way and knew of no way of redemption. There was a man, John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus' coming. Preparing the hearts of the people for His coming to offer salvation unto all. The ministry that he went around and the message that he proclaimed was repent and be baptized. And the scripture says in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in the verse 7, that he looked out over the scribes and the Pharisees and he said, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Who's warned you? Who's given you the opportunity? And who's given you the warning of what is to come upon you? As a generation of vipers, as a people that aren't prepared for the coming of the Lord, there's wrath to come. And as Jesus looked over Jerusalem, His heart was compelled, it was moved, and it was drawn out for a people that He knew was not prepared for the wrath that was to come. To a people that were oblivious of what was coming upon them and upon their children. Oblivious to what was right around the corner. But I'm thankful tonight for a God of mercy. For a God of love who is a faithful God to come and send warning after warning. To send His word to prepare people. We read of it in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, as Lot went and he went into his daughters and sons-in-laws and he made an appeal unto them. Don't you realize what's soon to come? Don't you realize what's about to befall you? This is your opportunity today. You don't have very long to act on this, but it's your opportunity right now to be able to respond and to be able to take action to spare your life and the lives of your family. But you know, it's hard for a people to believe something that has never happened before. To believe something that has never been witnessed before. You tell me the fire and brimstone is about to fall on our city. I can't even comprehend what that's like. I've never heard of that happening. I don't know what that would be like. Said that he was unto them as a fool, as one to just be mocked and ridiculed. Not a whole lot has changed since that time, but the Lord still sends the message and the opportunity. Wrath is coming. The day of wrath is coming, but the opportunity to escape is offered to all. I'd like to begin here in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, faith is not just for a Thursday morning prayer service. It's not just for the healing of the body. It takes that in. But you know, we cannot come unto God without faith. We're not able to even come to a place and a realization. I can hear the words being said. I can have an understanding. You can stand and tell me what's about to come. You can lay out before me the things that are about to befall me, but without faith, it's meaningless to me. Without faith, there's nothing that compels me to go and take action to avoid that. If I don't really believe the word and the message that's being spoken, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Noah also was warned of something that had never yet been witnessed. A worldwide flood and the rains and the fountains of the deep being opened up, and to be able to imagine, can you put yourself in that place and be able to imagine of a man that's going out as the preacher of righteousness for a long period of time, proclaiming the message that destruction is coming. Destruction is coming. You know what you tend to do when you hear something over and over and over? The danger is I tune it out. The danger is maybe at first I hear it and it gets my attention. But I've got to do more than just hear the message. I've got to do more than just hear the words of it. I have to be moved by faith, moved by fear, to believe and to know that the word of the Lord is true. For in to witness to my heart, I know this is true. It's about more than us being able to say, I've heard it all my life. I know this. You can go ahead and sit down. I know how the message goes. I know what the warning is. But folks, you know, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to continue offering over and over the opportunity. The message and the warning that says, today is the opportunity. Today is the accepted time to find escape. I don't have anything new to offer. Sometimes whenever we hear the same thing over and over and we become conditioned to it, to be able to be moved, I need to hear it in a different way. Or I want to hear it in some way that has enough emotion behind it. Or maybe if I could show a multimedia presentation to be able to put moving images. But you know, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to my faith. It's going to come down to my belief in the Word of God. Do I believe what the Word of the Lord says? And am I willing as Noah to do more than just hear it? To do more than just say, yes, I acknowledge the message. I acknowledge and I believe that that day is coming. Of course we do. We know these things. But do we really? Because our lives will witness it if we believe it. Our actions will testify to it. Oh, I would to God that there was more of a fear of God upon hearts today. You know, I'd love to just give you a compelling story of the love of God and the pleasures of salvation and how extensive the evidence is. But folks, the message tonight is a message of love and of hope and of opportunity. But it is a message that the Lord wants us to be moved by fear. The time will come, shall I tell you, why I seek no pleasure in the things I once did love. I've tasted something better. The Scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I am so thankful tonight. There's more to this thing than just being moved by a scary story. Just being moved because I want to avoid something. The Lord doesn't just save me from something I heard in this meeting, but He also saves me to something. He gives me something so full and rich in my life. But it is for me to accept the message with faith. We live in a time that's not conducive to faith. We live in a day of scoffers. And so the Scripture said it would come, that in the last days that there would be scoffers who look at it and then they've heard the message over and over and they say, but I've never seen it. I've heard it, but I've still today not seen the evidence of it. We live in a generation that wants to see the evidence. Even in Jesus' time, they wanted to see a sign. Give me some proof. Give me some evidence. All things continue as they were from the beginning. The Scripture says that we don't just look at the things which are seen, but faith causes us to look at the things that are not seen. It causes us to look beyond the things that I've always known. And I assume in my mind that things will just always continue as they've always been, because it's what I've always seen. But to be able to know and believe and understand, there is coming a day when things won't continue as they've always continued. There's coming a day that I'll draw my last breath and I'll face a just God. May the Lord help us tonight to get a small glimpse beyond the veil. Because I believe and I am convinced if the Lord were to open up the picture before us, I am convinced that if we could see with our eyes the reality of what's really before us, there wouldn't be a sinner walk out these doors. It would be so compelling and moving. But you know, the Lord wants people to make a choice, to make a decision that I'm willing and I desire to follow the Lord. I'd like to look at Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not a scripture you'll hear the devil quoting to you. But it's still true. That whosoever will come and accept an offer of escape can receive it. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Just hearing isn't enough. Just sitting under the sound of it for year after year after year isn't enough. But it's what I do with it. It's beyond just hearing the report. But who hath believed the report? Who has it witnessed to the heart to the point to say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm willing to move as Noah did in fear to the saving of his household. Not all that hear will believe. It's so easy for us in this life to get so focused on the temporal, to get so focused on what I see before me and what I've always known. There was a fool that wasn't so much different than so many today. A rich man who the Scripture really doesn't give much indication of what sins were in his life, but it gives a picture of the last of his life. And it says that he was a man that had things coming to him and were going well for him, and he looked upon it and his entire focus was on here and now. And he said, I'll pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater. Do you know what this man forgot? He forgot God. He forgot the fact that there's something more to this life than the here and now. And the Lord came unto him and said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. James chapter 2 says, the devils also believe, and they tremble. They live within a realm that we're not able to see with our eyes. They understand and know the reality of who God is and the reality of what's been prepared for the devil and his angels. And they believe and they tremble. But it's not enough to have a head knowledge. It's not enough to have an understanding in my mind of what it is. It needs to be something that I believe in my heart and I'm willing to be moved to action. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Is he still going to find a people that believe whenever he returns in the midst of a skeptical and a scornful world? May the Lord help us to have a glimpse beyond the veil. I'd like to look at a familiar passage and one that we've heard in this meeting. The 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 16, and I'd like to begin with the end of this story. The story of Lazarus and the rich man. Verse 27, the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, speaking of Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that they also, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know, there was something that this man was experiencing that changed everything that he knew. The way that he looked at everything. This man that had lived his life with very little thought of God and of the things to come. He came to a place now that all of a sudden his desire and his thought was, I've got brothers back there. They're thinking the way that I used to think. Let me go back unto them or send Lazarus unto them. Because what I am experiencing right now is something so horrible that it would change their mind if only they could know. If only someone could go and tell them what it is. It would change their mind. It would wake them up to the need that they have of God. If only they could feel what I feel right here in this moment. But notice what Abraham said unto him. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. They have the same opportunity that you had. They have the same message. They have the same warning that you had. And that's the warning that they'll have to prepare them for this day. He said, oh, if only I could relate to them somehow the reality of what it is. And I pray to God by His Spirit that He would witness to our hearts tonight the reality of what this man was experiencing. I don't believe that our minds are fully able to comprehend. I don't believe that I'm able to really take it in. But may God witness to my heart and to your heart tonight the reality of what this man was experiencing and still is today. He said they have the opportunity. You know this story? I've wondered, did his brothers make it? Did any of his brothers have within them something that took them a different direction than what this brother took? We don't read of it. And you know the story repeats itself over and over and over. Those that have gone before us that made the wrong decisions, that could say to us, if only they were able, whatever it takes, whatever price you have to pay, pay the price. It's not worth it. Don't come to the place that I'm in. Don't experience the things that I'm experiencing tonight. The reality of what he's experiencing is as real as what we're experiencing here tonight. And so I'd like to back up just a little bit. Verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The word torments refers to a declining to the very bottom. In other words, it is trying to express the very lowest possible place that you could get to of human suffering. Another word that's used to describe it is torture. Maybe you've seen the pictures of some of the atrocities that have been committed in the history of our world, evil men that have devised all kinds of evil, sick, grotesque ways of torturing their victims. Sometimes for their own pleasure. Sometimes it's said of Vlad the Impaler that he had 20,000 men impaled, put to death by being impaled through with a sharp object. And as that was happening and unfolding before him, he sat there and dined among the corpses. Can you imagine the depths of depravity, the sick wickedness that's in the hearts of men, the torture that people have designed to inflict on others, to be able to extract something from them, or to be able to just execute the wickedness of their own hearts. It's said of Nero as well, of the human torches that he would set around the city and light him on fire and enjoy it. And sing and have sing, and that was entertainment unto him. Of the sickest forms and most grotesque instruments of torture that have been devised, and not even interested in going into describing all those methods of torture. Perhaps you've seen them, of some of the most grotesque ways that somebody can devise in their mind of inflicting harm and torture and pain for the longest period of time before life finally slips away. But do you know, even in that, there's hope. Even in that, it'll only last so long. He said, I am in torments, the worst degree of torture, going to the bottom. He said that he saw Abraham. You know, it tells me that in that place, you're cognizant. In that place, you're very much aware of what's happening. You're very much aware of the choices that you have made and of the choices that you could have made and able to see. And I don't understand or pretend to tonight how all of this works and how it happens. But we have a man here that was able to lift up his eyes, and the Lord allowed him a glimpse of what could have been, of how it could be different by the choices that I made. Had I made a different choice in my life, I wouldn't have to be here. And now I'm able to look and behold in my awareness, in my mind, my understanding that is still alive and is still aware and is still able to process pain, regret, sorrow, and remorse. And I'm still able to, and I have to deal with those things in my understanding, even in a place like that. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The scripture talks about, and you know, it really speaks more of hell than it does of heaven. And there's still so little we know of it, but this passage gives us a rare glimpse into a little bit of what it's like in that place. Whenever the torture is so extreme and the fire and the pain, that if I can just have a moment of relief, if I can just have something to relieve the pain and the suffering that I am experiencing. But it was hopeless. He said, it's not possible. There's a great goal fixed here. You know, in that cognizant state where I have an understanding of the decisions that I have made, of the choices. You know, there was a remembrance that the rich man had. He said, remember thou that in thy days, remember, there's going to be a remembrance. Our memory's still there to remember the times that we had opportunity, to remember the times that I felt the dealing within my heart and a prick, and I rejected the dealings and I moved on. We know a little bit of what regret feels like. If only I could go back and undo what I did. If only I could turn back the clock and give me one more opportunity. But the day of opportunity was past for this man. There is a great gulf fixed. The scripture says, Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, to cast the unprofitable servants out into outer darkness. You know, it's another characteristic of this place. Complete darkness. By contrast, the Scripture says that in heaven, there will be no need of the sun there, because the Son of God will be what illuminates that place in its brightness and in its splendor. But you know, those rays won't reach the depths of hell. In that place, there is no source of light. There is no sun that illuminates. The Scripture says that weeping may endure for the night. There's something about the night hours that causes you, when you're in pain and when you're in anguish, I just want to see again the light of day. I just want to see the sun rise one more time. But joy cometh in the morning. But in that place, it is an eternal and everlasting outer darkness where there is no hope of morning. There is no hope that I know if I can endure this for a little while longer. If I can just hold on a little while longer, it's going to change. Things are going to get better. Can you imagine the feeling of hopelessness? What I'm experiencing right now will never eternally change. But I've set my course. And I'm living with it. One of the curses of Egypt was darkness. And it wasn't just a darkness like we know of the night sky. But it says it was a darkness that could be felt. It was a heavy darkness. It was an oppressive darkness that just no doubt brought a weight and a crushing feeling about. And however it was something that by the end of 3 days, Pharaoh was saying, I can't take it anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. Go out into Egypt. Fine, I can't take this kind of darkness anymore. To be in a place where there are evil spirits having free course and free reign. Where there is darkness all around and nothing that illuminates to my eye to be able to see. The Lord says that the way of the wicked is a taste of that. It's as the darkness and they don't know what they stumble at. There is a spiritual darkness that befalls the way of a sinner. That I don't understand the things that I'm stumbling over and what is still to come. But I pray tonight that God would open any eyes that are blinded. That God would give a glimpse through the haze to be able to see a little bit of the reality of what is ahead. If I don't accept this offer of escape. I've been to the Czech Republic, Germany. Walked through some of the Holocaust sites, some of the concentration camps. And it's almost more than my mind can take in. As I look at the mounds of dirt and I read a plaque that says, here lie 10,000 people. I can't even process in my mind how somebody could stoop to that level. How somebody of the things that were committed in a place like that, to get into a place that you're so desensitized from all sense of what's right and acceptable, to be able to live with yourself, to be able to go to bed at night and commit the kind of things that they committed in places like that. You know, one thing that I think will be perhaps the most horrible of all is an absolute separation from the presence of God. Because you realize, even in this life, the evil that we witness and the things that we behold at a place like that, and we hear in modern times of ISIS burning people alive in cages, and I can't deal with that. I can't. But to be able to realize the level and the depths to which somebody would stoop, you know, it really is just a glimpse into where the devil will take somebody. It's just a little glimpse into the way the mind of Satan works, into the desire that he has for every single one of us, if he could, if he would be permitted to. We read of Job that the Lord had put a hedge about Job. You know, if it was not for the hedge of God's protection about us, The enemy would be able to consume every one of us. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, it is a God of mercy that still puts as much of a hedge about you as He can until you tear it down and you pull it down and you override it. But the only check against a Satan that will go to the fullest extent of destruction is a God of love and a God of mercy. There are people that have a hard time understanding, how can evil exist like this in the world today? And how could a loving God allow somebody to go into a place like hell? You know, a loving God necessitates that He has somebody that serves Him out of love. For somebody to serve Him out of love, they have a will and a choice. He wants something more than robots to serve Him. For there to be good, there is also evil. It is the contrast of what God is. God would have to override everything that He has set in motion, to override the laws of sowing and reaping. If there is a way to eternal life, then there is also a way to eternal destruction. If there is a tree of good and evil, there's also a tree of life that you can partake of. It's the two ways that's always been set before mankind. And it's come down to each and every individual's choice. In that place will be absolutely no check of God's Spirit upon the host of Satan. There will be no hold against Satan's spirits because I've overridden the last check that there was. In that place, I am now turned over completely to His control, to do with me eternally what He pleases to do with me. I'd like for us to try for a moment to put yourself at the scene of judgment. D.O. Teasley had a glimpse, I believe, of it. It says, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed out into the infinite future. Let's try for just a moment to imagine. I remember praying once, Lord, give me a greater burden for souls. He gave me one of the most horrible dreams that I've ever had. In that dream, I had died. And I was standing in a line, and I was towards the back of the line. But I remember feeling it was a line that was proceeding before the judgment seat of God. And I remember a crushing feeling in my spirit. I'm not ready. And I remember standing there and thinking in my mind, no, please, I'm not ready for this. Let me go back. But there was no turning back from the line. And I felt a little bit of the feeling of utter and complete hopelessness that caused me to awake with a horror on my spirit and say, as D.O. Teasley said, I thought with a shudder what a moment might cost. Oh God, help me to never be in that place. And you know, none of us have to be. That's the beauty of it here tonight. There's not a single one of us tonight that has to stand in that place. But the chances are, folks, it's not a God of statistics. He can defy statistics, but statistically speaking, the chances are some that are in this assembly tonight are not ready to meet Him. Some that are in this place, chances are, won't be ready on that day. The chances are, no matter what good intentions I have tonight, if I'm not ready tonight and I'm not willing to do something about it, the chances are that's the condition I'll stand before God. I understand that there are over 6,000 people an hour that die. No way of knowing how many of those are ready. But I do know the Scripture says that there is a straight and a narrow way, and few there be that find this way of escape. And there be many that find the broad way that leads to everlasting destruction. Of 6,000 people an hour, I don't know what it's like to stand there entirely, but I have to imagine in my mind's eye the procession of people. The procession of thousands of people an hour crossing that threshold from time to eternity, coming to a place that they're now facing God. They're now facing the deeds that they have done in their body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And I can imagine in my mind's eye the sinner, the one that never responded to God's dealings, the one that always pushed them off and said, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to accept it. I want to live a life of sin. I can imagine a man or a woman like that standing in that place. And I see in my mind's eye as well the atheist, the former atheist, an agnostic. Because in that day, there will be no unbeliever. In that day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue is going to confess in that day, regardless of how I've rejected, regardless of how I've spurned it and pushed it away. In that day, there will be no denying. In that day, I come to the realization like the rich man did. I'm here. The place that I've heard of, the place that I've been warned of. I can't believe that I'm here in this place. Especially when I had opportunity. And it didn't have to be so. I see the backslider. The one that once knew the God he now faces. The one who turned his back and never came back home. I see the neglectful Christian that got careless along the way. The one that had every intention, I'm going to fix it. Of course I'm not going there. I'm never going to go there. But the end caught them unaware. I see the preacher even. The one that had a high profession. I see the hypocrite. Those that by looking on the outward, everything was going so well. And I've got it all together and I've held it together all this time, but now I stand before God and my nakedness is seen before Him. The reality of it is, Jesus said, "You shall die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come." Folks, the world doesn't like a message of judgment. The world doesn't like to hear. And so many have tried to water down the message, push it out of their minds and ignore it, and let's focus on something else. Let's not think about it. And some have outright denied it. But Jesus, in His love and in His mercy, had to tell them the truth. And I am compelled to do the same to you tonight. Folks, I believe this is the truth. I believe the reality of it will face every one of us one day. Whenever we stand and I learn the determination of what the decisions of my life has now set the course of for eternity. If I have sin in my life, when I draw my last breath, it doesn't matter the intentions. It doesn't matter what people think of me. I'll be in this place. I'd like to look at the next chapter. Chapter 17. Jesus warning about this day. It says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Do you know the Lord? As we read of a time that came on the history of the world where the wickedness of their hearts was only evil continually. And He said, "I've got to bring it to a place of judgment. My wrath is coming." But He came unto Noah. There's opportunity. I want to give a way of escape. I want to offer unto this world. I want to offer to your family. But I believe unto everyone that would have called upon the name of the Lord and believed the preaching of righteousness. The Lord instructed Noah, I want you to build the ark, and in the side of it put a door in the ark. And it says, whenever that day came, they entered into the ark, Noah and his family, and God shut them in. That door is a picture of something for us today. I'd like to look at Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation chapter 3 in the 8th verse. Verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Folks, Jesus Christ is that door for us today. He is the door of the way, the door of escape, and He offers Himself to us tonight. If you want a way of escape, if you want to avoid the wrath that is to come, Jesus Christ is the door unto that escape. And He stands with arms stretched out wide, saying, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you'll hear with your ears and believe in your heart and confess, believe unto righteousness, you too can be saved, can avoid the horror of the wrath that is to come. He said, behold, I have set before you, whosoever will, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. But folks, the day did come that God looked down and said, it's enough now. The day of mercy and opportunity is past now. And He went and He shut the door. Folks, while today the door is open, are there any here that'd like to go through the door? Are there any here that realize when I walked into these doors tonight, I was not ready to meet God? I was not ready for that day when I would stand on that threshold myself. Tonight the door is open. The Lord's arms are open wide. I think of another instance where it tells us a type of a door. He said unto the Passover instance there in Egypt, whenever you, the angel of death passes over the land, if you have the blood on the doorpost of your heart, or on the door, I'll pass over you. You'll find escape. Tonight, is the blood on the doorpost? I saw, so the Lord brought it to me in my mind, to the analogy of the Holocaust again. Some of those extermination camps where they were brought by the train load, hauled in and stripped and brought down into the place where they were filing into the extermination rooms. Some of them realized, some of them not as quickly, what was about to befall them with horror. Can you imagine looking around and seeing the other side of the fence, saying, if only I could get to those trees over there. If only, is there somebody I know, maybe they'll make it here and overthrow him before my time comes. Maybe the armies of the Allies will make it here before I have to go through that door. And I'm lost as well. Folks, I see tonight in my mind's eye the Lord coming along to those of us who are filing through life and saying, I want to offer you escape. Do you want out tonight? Do you really want to go to that place? You don't have to. Here's your opportunity. Come with me. Can you imagine turning that down? Can you imagine saying, no, I think I'm going to stay here a little longer. And God in His mercy coming back again, saying, are you ready yet? Are you ready now? And as you get closer and closer to that door, one final time, are you ready? Do you want to come with me? Folks, we don't often have a warning of when it's our last warning. But Jesus tonight is coming, I believe, and passing around and saying, aren't you ready now? Aren't you ready to go through the door? Folks, whosoever will can escape the wrath that is to come. Amen. Let's stand tonight and have a song. If anybody would like to accept the offer of Jesus Christ, it's available.